Check this out. As beautiful as it would be to have Earth behind you, regards you as a champion because you're winning. Truth is, there are always a contingent of people who would love to see you throw your win away. I know when I see a, say, celebrity or athlete, and people want to see them make a stand, it's not just about standing up and doing what's right and taking the side of what's right in the situation. That is people's golden opportunity to urge this gigantic individual by status to throw away what they have, to sabotage their situation. It's always extreme. On a simple level, the average person does not quit their job or quit performing their job or quit showing up to their job because there's some type of social injustice. But they'll look at the TV screen and say, hey, that guy should not attend the basketball game. He shouldn't lace up his shoes and put on his jersey to play. He should sit it out to make a stand. But then that same person will get up when they don't feel like it, drive in, clock in, and put their work in. Then get off and not put in the same work for themselves. But you want the celebrity person to sacrifice what they have. And when it comes time to do things for the people themselves, the community, the area that you're from, your plan is, okay, that person has X amount. That person over there is supposed to be rich and wealthy. I heard about them having $1 billion, and this guy spends money on all these things he doesn't need, and he doesn't pitch in for the people. And you're taking and aligning, we'll call them celebrities at this point. You're reaching in their pocket, watching what they spend, and in your mind, you're putting together an equation. We'll take that guy, that female, and put all of them together, and we could turn around the problems in the community. If they took a few million, and they took a few million, and that person took a few million, we'd have one of our issues fixed in nearly no time. And stand up against the establishment too, the one that pays you. Why, when it comes time to get things done for a certain group, for your area, for whoever you align yourself with, why is it someone else's responsibility and not yours? Your answer will be, well, if I had what I would do, they have it. It doesn't even cost a lot. Well, how about you take a percentage of your money? You stop going to your job. You go to the man that pays you and says, no, though you didn't do anything to me, because the establishment, because the government is doing us wrong, let me stand against you and forfeit these hours and therefore this check. And as a result, my lifestyle. It's not that. Why isn't it that ever? I had a guy, funniest thing I heard. When Baltimore was having injustices and alleged criminals off the street. In one case, one didn't make it all the way to the precinct or wherever they were taking him. He died en route. And there was an uprising, and maybe there were more situations. Someone I knew says, hey, man, if I was in Baltimore, what they should do, what they should do. You got to watch that, what they should do. Should. What I would do, what they should do, what you should do. You got to watch those aggressive conversation people. Always nudging. You should. What I would do, what you could do, and always suggesting that you do something. How about you put it in the air that it exists, and I'll move on it if I want to. Right? But he was like, man, if I was in Baltimore, I would, and they should. I'm like, dude, we're in D.C. Technically, we're in Maryland, in the D.C. area. So, I mean, Baltimore, if you know this area, you ain't nothing but a ride up the highway away. You're about 50 minutes, 45 minutes from Baltimore. So what do you mean if you were in Baltimore? Does this affect your group? Yes. But conveniently, you were able to make it strictly Baltimore's problem. And that shows who and how people are, because this same individual, and you've heard it before maybe, is that if you were alive in a certain time, I would have never participated in. They would have never dominated me. I would have. But you do the same thing now. You just get paid more for what you do instead of just having shelter and the basic food to survive. You wouldn't be a person who was captured. You wouldn't be a person that works for someone else. You wouldn't be a slave, and I wouldn't be this. I would. But you're doing it right now. And social injustices are happening 45 minutes up the street. And your answer, now that you finally have a chance to show and prove what you would have done and what I'd have done, now the moment is right here in history. You're here. It's here. Hey, man, we got action. Your big reveal, your big answer, your big plan is, man, what they should do. Yeah, that's what I thought. So when you look at all these guys and you're sour with the athlete, if I talked about this before. If you duck responsibility on a consistent basis, if you get up and do what you feel like it, and not do what you do not feel like doing because you don't feel like it, even though it would be beneficial, that is selfishness, because it's taking away from the resources you would have if you handled the business, the contacts you would have if you handled the business. So what you would do is what you're doing right now, and that is worrying about you, your feelings, what you want to do, what you're not going to do. Because if you were about it, you would be out there pumping every day, putting yourself in position to be in possession. Thank you, sin. Thank you, gain. So the fact that you do not sacrifice for yourself and therefore for the people tells who you are. So if you had more resources, you would still have the same character you have. And you may do it as a novelty, as a show. Let me give this away and let me do that. But when it comes down to it, look at who you are. You don't sacrifice to improve. You do not take these large measures to get it done and climb. You don't. You don't listen to information. You don't pass on information. And as I see it, my simple little my simple success formula is this, you know, because we come up with these ideas of what we think success is and what it is to be successful and how you end up successful. My formula is simple. Live a story worth telling and gather information worth passing down. That's pretty simple. Live a story worth telling, gather information worth passing down. So if you will not be, in anybody's definition, successful, and not in your definition successful, it means you don't sacrifice. It means you don't put in the work. So being that you do not put in the work, you have not put in the work, somehow you're going to put in the work when it comes time. So there's a part of you that wants to see someone else lose their situation, their advantageous situation, which is why you want them to sacrifice what they have. Give away what you have. Give yours away. You want them to make this gigantic stand because it would knock them out of position. And do you have the resources to put that person back on their feet? No. Would you if you could? No. So why do you want to see them give it away? It's not so they can recover. It's not so you can help them recover. So why do you burn to see somebody give away an advantageous situation? It doesn't even make sense. So you have to stop being a loser, man. Because only a loser would want someone else to fall so we can both be losers together. If someone climbs to the top of their craft and they put in all this work and they dedicate it, which you don't have an idea of what it costs, what it takes, what that person did and does to remain where they are and to get there in the first place, you don't have a strong idea of it. You can't grasp because you haven't done it in anything. 9 out of 10. So you can't even put it in proper context what that person did to get there. But just because it hurts you, because you measure yourself against people, so it doesn't rub on your feelings, you at least want that person to be where you are. So then you could turn right around. That person had all that money. If I'd have had all that money, what I'd have done? How you lose all the millions? How they lose all the millions? Ha, dummy, ha, ha. Yeah, he fell off. Think about it. When certain artists come up, musical artists, instead of celebrating this person's catalog, oh man, it's like, I ain't heard from him in a minute. Where he been at? It's like, it's not this song is great. This person put in his work. He's got albums. You're measuring all this stuff against his best song or his best performing song on the charts. It's like, oh, he fell off. You're dying. You're itching to say somebody fell off or to hope they fell off. Old artist comes out with something new. I used to mess with him back in the day. I messed with the old so-and-so. You haven't even heard the new one. But you take the stance. I rock with the old so-and-so. And as an artist, if you keep making the same type of song over and over again, I keep making the same thing over and over. All his joints sound the same. And if you expand, if you evolve, I like the old. So that's why artists knows not to try to perform to excite the people and all that. It's fine if it happens, but you don't let somebody unaccomplished, in most cases, direct you in how you should prepare such grand and delicate material. No. But it's all about seeing somebody fall off. And you want to keep them there. Even if they're doing well. This person you claim only has one hit. I had one, he got that one song. No, he does not have that one song. You can't put together an album if you just got that one song. We know it because it's been beat to death over the radio. It's called a single. It doesn't mean the rest of your stuff's not good. It just means it's a single. It's one of your best songs to you a lot of times, or it's one of your most marketable songs. So you can play it in front of certain audiences. It can translate into sales according to you and or the label. That's what it's about. You can't put 15 songs on the radio. So you can have a masterpiece front to back, but you can only play a few singles at most unless you're cooking hot. And still then they can't play all of them on the radio. So that to say, that person's not even looking that far into it. It's just something to say. And believe me, these guys, these performers, they take those few popular songs, they can string together a 25-minute set and eat off that for the rest of their life. They can perform those hits over and over and over and over again. You take a couple hits you had. Even if you have to open the show with one, you do one that's like a semi-popular, maybe a street single, and then you take a new song, and then you close it with the hit you have. And you can do that nonstop. Perpetually. Because one hit is way better than none. But anyway, back to my main point. Is that's the part you crave. So you have no intention of propelling this person back to their feet. You have no intention of standing behind and with this person. You don't have it in you to care about the actual issue because you won't participate in most cases. You just want to see somebody else lose. So you're not alone. What's one of the first adages or sayings we learned growing up, coming up, that you would hear and never quite understood how deep it was? Misery loves company. How many times do I meet someone with their lifestyle that they're dissatisfied with? And they reach over here like, you live like what you should do. Did you think about, well, you live that way now, but when XYZ happens, you may feel different. How about I'm good? How about that? I'm cool, man. When we came here and met up, you asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm good. You run off your list of problems to me and then tell me why I should do what you're doing. Nah, I'm cool. Because if we're both doing well, you have your way of going about your day and life. I have my way. If we're both doing good, I'm certainly not going to tell you what you should do. Because if you're good, according to your word, according to what I'm picking up in you, and observing with you and about you, hey, I'm not going to take that. Whatever you're doing, it's working. That's my stance. Why are you trying so hard to get me to trade in my win for what? What you want me to do? You think I should do? Nah, I'm cool. How about I'm good? That's what adult is, right? You make a decision. You stand on it. You stick with it. You decide how you're going to live, right? Now, I can understand if I was a detriment to people around me and this person genuinely cared like that and was like, hey, man, you know, I know you decided you're going to live a certain way, but you got to consider you do have kids, you do have a girlfriend or a wife or something like that, you know. Not to say you should change anything, but, you know, just in general, you kind of, or a person owes a certain amount of energy and time to the family they create, right? I can understand that. I would consider that. Like, yeah, you're right. Even though I'm not going to turn in what I do as a whole, yeah, I should make sure that I at least hit certain checkpoints so I am there, so I can have proper influence, so I can guide my child in proper fashion and my female. But I don't have none of that. You know what I mean? So whose detriment is it that I live how I want to live? Nobody. I live a total victimless life, meaning there's no victim in how I live my life. Anyone who deals with me is complicit in how they deal with me. They're in on it. So if I'm good and it's not costing anyone around me or even that individual, if I'm good, you see I'm good, why are you diving at my ankles trying to undercut me? I'm good, man. Don't bring that over here. And that's how I have to deal with people. You stave them off. You spend a lot of your day staving off attack from little guys and people who feel small within themselves. They attack all day. It's like teeny little bites, like ankle biters. Like, get off me, get off me, get off me. Because they're upset with their situation. They can't find contentment. They can't figure it out. They accepted a formula that society gave them that they were taught they were supposed to want. And it doesn't feel how they thought it was going to be. It wasn't all it was cracked up to be. You see? So this whole lie as well that males tell themselves that, you know, I got sick of being out there in the field. You know, I got X amount of women, X amount of times. And I'm done with that. You know, I just went. No, you didn't. That's a lie. That's a myth. Stop it. If your husband, females, done said that and they say that, yes. Man, that's a lie. Let me tell you. How many times have I been out with married males, right? Chilling at a restaurant, kicking it, chopping up, catching back up. How many times can they not even pay attention to the conversation because they got the waitress on their mind? Somebody walks past and they looking at them. Oh, look at that. They neck snapping all over the plate like, dude, you all right? This is the same person that claimed that having the one, you'll live that way until you find the one. Maybe one day you'll find the one. No, I didn't come here and tell you I'm looking for the one. So why maybe you want me to have that so bad? I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to keep it one that well. This is the reason why it's tough for me to speak to married men. Because you have to grant them X amount of denial. For someone who's already on paper, who already has a deal, you accepted a deal, and you're finding out now how she truly carries herself. Or you saw how she truly carried herself, but you accepted it because you couldn't do better. Contrary to belief, a lot of men or males end up in marriages, long-term situations, because there was a drought out here. There's a large gap from one female to the next, from one they like to the next, from one who's good enough to the next. So if your typical male, your average male, he has dry spells constantly for long stretches. He takes what he can get. Often. I've heard as much verbalized even. So it's like when they get somebody who's good enough who will deal with them and lay with them on a consistent basis, they're going to stay there. And because at the same time, the female is aggressive, like passive aggressive typically, until she sees she can walk on you, then she nudging you openly. Yeah, she going to push you into being together and staying together. You're going to get on this paperwork right here is what you're going to do. So you got that contract. You took that deal. So it's not in their best interest to consider a better option or a better way of handling the option they already accepted. It's tough to reverse the backwards moves you've been making since you've been in there. You already done gave up enough ground to where she's the domineering partner now. You just can't flip-flop and implement rules tomorrow. You know what I mean? Your hand ain't strong enough to say, get out the way or get up out of here. Why? You on paperwork. Haven't you heard? It's cheaper to keep her. I didn't make that up. That's a real thing. Now you know what that means. It's cheaper to keep her, meaning he's already on the deal. So it don't make sense for him to get game now in his mind. He needs game for how he deals with her. But he does not want to consider. This is why when you talk to males in general, about females in general, you can land on the same page with everything. Things to look out for. What their intentions are. But at the end of it, to make himself feel like he made a proper decision or to not accept that he did not make a proper decision in many cases, what will he do? That's why you got to find the right one. What is he telling himself? What is he telling me? And mainly himself. He needs to reassure that he made the correct decision. So he has to end it with, that's why you got to find the right one. See, and he'll justify. See, that's why you got to find the right one. Because when I met my wife, he's justifying how he ended up with her. He knows he's on paperwork. So I can't give him uncut answers, knowing that he's under the deal. So I grant married men X amount of denial. And then at a certain point, if it's tough for them to take that, then they're not going to like me at the end of that conversation. Because I snap them out of it if they push me to that point. But initially, I just, you know, I grant you X amount of denial, married man. You know what I mean? But reverse what you thought about how whoever you're with was so great with females and he had them falling off his arm. That's false, man. Most males do not become impeccable with their catch hand. It does not happen. Maybe they have a field where they have more action or they're in a more of a public light. Yes. Okay. There's a large contingent who will deal with him at that point. Which isn't the answer for all of it, because now you're just a larger target with no gain or minimal gain. So you're going to get conned. Stripped left and right. Now, instead of you being in the marriage you're in now or the typical relationship you would be in, and you have one female who's dominating your mind, now you have several. So to the average male, having four or five females he talked to was just, it's too much. He can't take it. He got one pulling him this way, one saying she's not getting enough time. You understand? So for him, even though so many people think they want all these partners, you're not strong enough to handle all them, because ultimately what happens is you end up with one and she's getting you to do what she wants you to do. It makes you feel like, through manipulation, that you run things. You know, but hey, all to say, I'm good. So don't try to come correct what's good. I'm cool. Remember, it's me who gonna sit down in this conversation and guide you. You do recall. So whose footing is correct here? Whose footing is stable here? Because if you're going to say something profound, oh, I'm going to take it. I'm greedy. You got something I could benefit from? You got some enlightenment, some encouragement? I'm going to take it. But how often is that going to be? I can take something you say and get some good gain from it. I could extract some gain from something you say, a genuine moment that I pick up on. I can take that. I see. He saw that. That's an experience he had. That's why he brought that up. I can take some gain from that. But when it comes down to sitting down and one needing to show the other and enlighten the other, hey, man, that's going to be me showing you. So why then do you want to push your formula onto me? Why? Because misery loves company. So if you're in a strong position, do not feel that you have to keep certain people around you to prove that you did not change or to prove that you're still with them. You can have people you look out for, people you have a genuine care for, but you don't have to put them in the way. You don't owe to put people in the way. That's not a real thing. You can decide, I'll do this for this person financially, right? I'll make sure that person's situation is great. I'll make sure that person has somewhere to stay. But I do not owe the catfight package. You know, let's talk about it. Let's communicate. Why are we fighting? Why? No, I don't owe the catfight package. And you don't either. So you can make a decision to involve someone else to a certain degree, but you don't owe that time. As I've said before, be there for your people more than you are there with your people. All right? Don't take bad looks or hang around someone you know is working against your larger plan and larger interests because you're used to hanging around them or they're used to being around you. They are used to having a certain role. They become accustomed to having this role around you. Hey, how many people you think I still hang around? Huh? I don't owe. And a large part of this is you can't be flimsy and need people around you all the time because you're used to having them around. Because you're accustomed to having certain people around or a certain amount of people around, and you got to step off on your own sometimes. That's when your best thoughts come to you. How can you possibly reflect if you're around someone else and you two are distracting each other? How? When? Because you've been told, we've heard that experience is the best teacher. Somewhat. Experience plus reflection is the best teacher. Because if you experience it and you never pick through it to decide what that meant, why did that happen? What did that mean? How did that come about? What would transpire based on that happened? Well, you just ran into a brick wall and you're going to do it again and again and again. You're not learning. You're not learning most of it. You know fire burn. You know your basics. But hey, basic and bland. They ain't sharp, is it? So step out on your own once in a while. Check back in. Hey, I'm going to keep it like this, right? Do not rely on, this is for males and females, this goes both ways. Do not rely on your partner to understand all that you need. So you can't expect them to have conduct that matches the conduct you're supposed to receive. You need to decide what you'll accept and hold that person to that. Because a man, you cannot be at home, have a cat fight back and forth with your female, and then you're dealing with, this is an extreme, but hey, this happened. A female told me, I'm not going to word it that way because it's going to give too much. Acknowledgement is encouragement. So because this is public, I'm not going to say certain things to let the individual feel like I'm acknowledging them because it encourages them. You see, so let me not retract what I'm going to say, but let me edit it. You can't afford to have battles at home and then go out and have discord with males, with your job, the higher ups, the people on the floor. You can't afford to get in back and forth when you're shopping and for that parking space you wanted and the other person jumped in. You can't afford to have all this going on. And still be able to advance and be great. That don't equate with being great. And you can't have a partner. Broads do this. I'm going to keep it real. Not all of them do. A small percentage do this, right? They think because they jump all across boundaries and you tighten them up. Nah. Back up off that line right there. In their mind, because they don't see you doing that to other people, they don't see you going head up with other people the same way, they'll try to act like you're bullying and all that. But what you have to understand is this. Number one, why would you want a female around you? Or how would you not recognize that she's poor for your operation if she expects you to owe some back and forth with her, some push-pull with her? And then why would she expect you to have other push and pull with other people when it has nothing to do with getting anything accomplished? It has nothing to do with anything. So how are you supposed to be this accomplished, focused person when you got all this going on around you? You can't have that person there. And if you do, they have a minor role. But at the same time, you would have to teach that person how to deal with you. You can't afford that. You can't have all these energy draining activities going on that don't amount to you winning. You must always keep your space clean. Right? And you can't expect other people to serve you if you don't serve you. And the number way, the number one way you serve yourself is to have and to be able to make sense of all the people who are around you, what their role is, what they contribute. And you'll find you don't need that many people. You'll find that they create as many issues as they help dissipate. Right? Be about you, serve you. And typically, others will follow suit. I'm gonna take you all right there. Let me wrap. But even more so than that, be kind, be pleasant, and be great. Freeze this, freeze that.